A long time ago, there was etiquette. Formal rules and codes that governed everything from which fork to use to what topics to discuss in polite company. Or so we've heard. Today, there's no etiquette in this world, and yet etiquette is required. How many messages should it take to set up a meeting? When you start seeing a new therapist, how do you talk about it with your first therapist whom you are still seeing? Welcome to No Etiquette, the podcast where we address modern etiquette questions in a nonsense fashion. I'm Vivian Lee, coming to you from Singapore, and joining me on the line is my best friend, Sophia Bose, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Vivian. How are you?
I hate that question, but I will tell you something that happened in my week. As you know, I work at a company that makes apps, and sometimes you walk past the artists who are working on art that goes into the app. And this week, I walked past somebody on my way to the bathroom, and what he was working on was a toilet plunger. He had an...
Like, how?
He was drawing of a beautiful toilet plunger. I guess he had drawn this beautiful, lovely toilet plunger, and it was in several different colors. I could see that he was making it several different colors. So the next time art in an app of a toilet plunger, you know that somebody had to work on it. It may have been worked on this very week.
That really makes me feel good. You know, I like that details. Like, I mean, I have so many follow-up questions, Vivian. Like, I actually do. Like,
I'll ask a couple.
Oh, really? I can ask? Okay. Wait, so were these hand-drawn or were these on the computer?
I think so. It was digital art. Like, kind of like digital art. Okay. Yeah.
I think like, how fancy were these plungers? Like, I guess what was the mechanism? How did they look? Were they rubber?
just like your like basic stick and basic like plunger. But the plunger part was in different colors.
Ah, this is great. I haven't I don't know that I actually own a plunger.
I have seen plungers.
I don't think I own a plunger.
Oh, no. You gotta own a plunger.
I know from experience, but I do not own a plunger.
Wait, so what do you go borrow someone's plunger or do you wait?
I've never had to use it. I've never had to use a plunger. Like the one time in my life that a plunger was needed. We had a plumber come, and they had a snake that they used.
Because
I suppose the problem was more than a plunger could fix to begin with.
Tier 2 plunger. You know, maybe it's one of those things where it's like good to have. It's like a screwdriver. You think you should have one. But if it's a small enough problem, you can do it with, like, a knife. Like a butter knife.
A knife?
And if it's a big enough... Yeah, haven't you ever, like, adjusted a screw with, like, the tip of a knife?
Oh, I guess so. No, not really.
Or like a coin or something. Like you can find something if it's a small problem.
No.
Yeah. If that has to be like, that's bigger than a screwdriver. But if it's a big enough problem, it's beyond a screwdriver's capabilities. And so do you need
to live a more screwdriver? Exciting life than me, Vivian. I've never had to use a coin to flip. This has never happened. Ever.
Right, well, that is our week. That's a sight from my week. And here we are sitting down to discuss some etiquette. And I have the topic for today.
I am very excited to hear this, Vivian.
Thank you. It is one we have discussed at length, but there are new developments, and I'm excited to hear your take on them in this no etiquette world of ours. And the raw question, I suppose, is something like, how do you answer when someone, an old friend, texts you out of the blue, essentially, and goes, how are you? Which is, you know, is a question I hate for reasons I will go into. And let me start by telling you the story. You look aghast, so I will start by telling you the saga, some of which you've heard, and which is one of the things that made us want to talk about the show, because it's so incensed me, but things have happened. So I was at, I think we went for like coffee and drinks with a couple of friends, like old school classmates from like over 10 years ago. Haven't seen them in a while. We were perfectly good terms, close enough that we would want to meet up again. Someone had the idea, and we pulled a group together, and like maybe like five of us all went out one afternoon. I think we'd seen one another here and there, but not as a big group, and it was kind of nice. It was like the first time, and my friend Amanda was there. Amanda and I were very close for a while in like a strange way, where we got very close during SARS in 2003.
Oh, Oh, wow.
Where they sent all the kids home from school because no one knew how serious it would be. We were at home for 2 weeks, and I think they didn't even really give us homework. It was so, they didn't really know what to do with us besides send us home.
2003?
2003. Because there's not even a lot of email. I mean, there's email, but there's not, like, school is not being done online in 2003.
Was this in all the countries in the world? I don't remember this. I mean, I remember stars in the news. Yeah, but I don't remember it ever being talked about in school.
It was much scarier in Singapore because the first cases, I think, were in Hong Kong. And I think we had cases kind of early, and it was, if there was anywhere it could go, it could, we probably already had some cases, and they were so scared. It was so early. Okay. They just didn't know. Yeah. Did it not? Yeah. Maybe other kids weren't sent home from school. I think it was so.
Didn't even know. Yeah. I read about it in the papers, but.
Yeah. Okay. So they sent us home from school and just didn't know what to do with us, and there was no online learning. So I don't remember really what we did, except that Amanda and I would chat on MSN Messenger. We'd always known each other, but never really, really chatted. And we chatted so much in the glorious days. Did you have MSN? Was that a thing you were on?
Did I have MSN? Yes. Yes, I had MSN. We didn't use it very much, actually. Mm. We used telephones.
You just spoke on the phone?
When we wanted to communicate, we used telephones. We would. But the reason is because I think at that point it was dial-up.
Okay.
And then if you wanted to, and if you were going to tie up the line, it's a whole thing. So if you're going to use the phone, you're going to tie up a line anyway if you're on the phone. But I think somehow it made more sense to be on the phone.
It was more socially acceptable to tie up the line because you were on the phone.
You know what? That's exactly it. It was more socially acceptable in my family to physically tie up the line.
Okay. So for us, I think it was, I can't remember what we had by 2003. You did not tie up the whole line when you were connected to the internet by 2003.
Uh-huh.
And everyone is on MSN, and actually I'm gonna just detour and tell a good story I heard about somebody, which was this another person I reconnected with, and she's married, and I asked her, you know, kind of like, how did you and your husband meet? I love asking this question. And she goes, well, we started at the same junior college, and his username on MSN or something was like truncated. She thought she was talking to somebody else, like I think like a female classmate, you know, from her other school. I can't remember now all the details, but she talked to him for weeks thinking that he was someone else and just felt very comfortable opening up to him as this. She thought, he was this person she'd known for a long time. And this went on for a long time, many weeks, I think, before she discovered it was him. But by then, you know, they had like gotten close, and then they ended up dating later on. It was lovely. But I thought it was just like a great, I don't even know if it was still MSN. Maybe it was, it must have been MSN because of usernames. But that was how she met her husband.
And oh, they got married.
That's
such a great story. Oh, that's such a good story.
Through MSN. Yeah. They're just totally thinking she was talking to the wrong different person.
Do you think that he knew? Anyway, sorry.
He knew. Oh, he knew who he was talking to.
So there's subterfuge here.
He didn't know that. I don't think he knew that she didn't know.
You don't think that he knew that she didn't. Okay, so
He knew he was talking to her.
Right.
He did not know that she did not know it was him.
And there was no way
he was talking to someone else. Because you don't use someone's name very much after you're talking. You just talk.
But then what if there's facts about your life? Like one person had a brother and like this person doesn't. Or like, you know, like if they're talking for a long time, how does it
They were in
come
a
up?
Magical portal where just like facts did not come up. It did not for her. It took weeks to get to the bottom.
I feel like
of.
There's more to the story that we don't know.
Maybe. Maybe she withheld some. I don't know. But I kind of believe her. She just didn't.
This is great.
It was a happy accident that she ended up getting very close to him.
So good. So good.
In a period of her life. So that was MSN. So that's some context for like it was a big part of our social interactions.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, the flip side of the phone is maybe because your parents didn't hear you when you were on MSN, right? They don't hear your conversations.
That's true.
And maybe we really liked it because it was kind of private, but at home. Phones. Anyway, so Amanda and I, you know, like 13-year-old selves got very close. Good friends, but we're never in-person friends somehow. We always knew each other in school and, like, never hung out. Different friend groups. good friends, yeah. Hadn't seen her in a long time, close, you know, good seeing her again. Anyway, all that to say, by the time we meet, you know, recently, it's been a while since I've seen her. We don't really know what's going on in each other's lives. You know, she's married, there's changing jobs. We all catch up on stuff. But it was kind of like, it was such a nice occasion because it was a couple of people who hadn't seen one another in a while who could just sort of like swap facts and talk about stuff, but not, both not have to go too deep, but just like have a good catch up. And we all were happy. We said, let's do this again in a couple months, you know. Yeah. And we did. We really kind of did. It's kind of at a nice level. But I had thought, mm-hmm. you know, I came away with the thing like, all right, it took us a long time to set up a Saturday afternoon where we could all be together. And we've like, we've talked, we've caught up. We're good for a couple of months is the point.
Yeah.
And I get home. And at some point that day, she texts me and says something like, hey, Vivian, it was so good seeing you today. So nice catching up. Something like, how have you been?
That's it?
And I look, that's something like that. Just like, and I look at it, I'm like, why did you not ask me this when you just saw me? Did we not already go over how we've been? And it just came at a time when I was like, I don't want to add, I just, and so I punted. Mm-hmm. I looked back, Sophia. I was like, what did I do? I punted. Yeah. I waited till the next day, and then I woke up a little sick, maybe because this was distressing me. And I was like, I'm getting a flu. You know, like, I'm sorry, let me message you in a couple days. And she was like, oh, yeah, no problem. I think I'm coming down with something, too. I think someone at the meetup was also sick, so it was kind of a whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I punted for a few days. I don't even think, I think I got well and just was like, I don't want to, how do I answer this message? I don't want to go into a whole thing. How are you? What is this? And so I dithered. And then finally, many days later, I kind of summoned up like something that I think I had even said when we were all together. I was just like, you know, I wanted to give an update. And I was like, you know, I'm reading more. I'm going to the library. I'm having a nice time. So that was one of our connections. We'd really loved some particular library books.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a couple messages and was like, and how are you?
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard nothing.
Ah, for how long?
Until this week, which I think was months. Yeah, I just, and at, I remember I raged to you. I was like, I sent her this message. She asked her, I sent her the message and she never responds. And you look at it on WhatsApp and it looks like the other person hasn't even read it. I don't know what I think there's ways around it now. Like, I don't know. It doesn't, I've seen that same thing on people who have read them. So anyway, maybe she's read it.
Oh, okay.
But like just for months, nothing.
Okay.
And it's both a small thing. And I was like, also, just infuriating. It is why I hate the how are you question over WhatsApp, because I had reasoned someone is bored for 20 seconds and they look at you and they think, ah, let me talk to her. And they send you a message. And by the time you've answered, the interest is gone. Like, they're no longer bored. It's over. And so you never, it's just like a, what was the whole point of that? You didn't really want to catch up. We had nothing that much to say to each other. Why did you not say it in person?
That was my
fury, if you recall this, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I recall the fury. Wow, she waited a really long time.
Many, many weeks.
Yeah, she waited a long time.
Yeah.
Do you think she was just bored again for like another 10 seconds when she responded, or?
Well, you see, I didn't. Well, before I get to that, we just didn't know, right? I was like, what, you know, maybe like something happened to her. Who knows, you know. Anyway. So I was so angry, and I said something like, never again, almost, like, forget it. People asking me, how are you? I don't answer. Yeah. And this was put to the test, sure enough, some weeks later, where my friend Sydney, out of nowhere, goes, hey, Vivian, how's it going? Or whatever, right? How's it been? Mm-hmm. How are you?
Yeah.
And I look at this by itself, and she and I have talked more often, and I'm, you know, but it's still like, what's the deal? You don't usually do this. What's up with this? Just how are you? Are you bored for 20 seconds? And I came to you. Do you recall what your advice to me was?
I do.
It was good advice. What was your advice?
I think I said something like, just respond exactly how she wrote to you. Or you know, basically mirror what she said.
Mirror what she said. Yeah. She was like, someone asks you, how are you? Just say like, great, how are you? Which I always felt was kind of like a sort of rude, no content-y, but it's true, right? Like, you don't know what the, a little bit, right? Like, it's such a, But in person, it's fine. That's exactly what you say in person. How are you? I'm great. How are you? You're just getting to the next item because it's clear that the next thing is up.
Yeah.
But over text, I'd always felt like you should make an effort or to say something. Mm-hmm. Definitely if the other person gives you something, like, you know, hey, how's it been? I've done this and this the last few weeks, and I thought of you. Or, you know, this happened. How are you?
Yeah.
But you're right? That's a mirroring. That's if someone gives you some information, you swap some back. And if all it is how are you?
Then what do you do?
Yeah, that's the mirroring.
You know, while you were talking, I was thinking about this. This happens to me in therapy a lot. Because my therapist will ask, the very first question will be, how are you? And it's terrible. Like, I agree. It's a bad question. Because then I suddenly think about my week and I can't remember anything. And then I have to open up my calendar. It's a whole thing. And this happens every week.
Catches you off guard every single time.
You know what? I should tell him something. I should do something about this. Like, I don't know why. I just live with it. But, like, you know.
It has power, right? It has a compelling power somehow. Where if someone asks, you seem to want to answer suddenly. But it's a very involved process.
It is. No. And this happened in a Zoom meeting just last week, actually. It was with, there was three other people, and there was one person who I'd never met. This was my first time meeting them. Okay. And somebody else who I know, but also haven't met, like, in a while. And I was so nervous that the first thing I said to the person who I'd never met, who was, that person and I were the first people on the call. So we had never met. And so I said, of course, how are you? I didn't even introduce myself. Like, I think it's at some point, I mean, my name is there because I think in Zoom you can see your name, but, like, you know.
Yep.
But I asked, how are you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. My first question was, how are you? And his response was, I'm good. How are you?
Mm-hmm.
And my all I wanted to ask was how he was again, because that's what, you know, like, right? Because you have
trapped
to give
in the
somebody,
mirroring.
You're trapped in the mirroring, right? And then luckily at that point, the second person, another person jumped on the call and that person said something about the weather, which was great because then you could just sort of dive into the weather, which it was a bad day in Ann Arbor. The weather.
Oh, that's the pitfall of mirroring, though, is you trap. Yeah. You trap the other person in infinite how are
you? Know, exactly. So I think I gave you some bad advice there because you may trap them in infinite. Like, because that's what happened to me in the Zoom call and it was very distressing. Yeah, like for both of us, actually. Like, we were so relieved when the third person joined.
Well, I think the general principle is that something new must be introduced to a closed situation, right? Either one of the how are yous you must break something. You must break it.
It has to be trivial, too. It has to be something trivial that you break. Like, I think you have to bring up something. It has to be something little.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite lines from The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Really?
Where Hester Prynne and Arthur Dimmesdale have not spoken in 7 years since their affair. And and they say something like they needed something light to run before them. They literally talk about the weather. They sit upon a log in the forest and they discourse on the sunlight or something. They talk about the weather and it's because they need to make little small talk before they descend into what was dearest to their hearts.
I like this. You know, okay, this is good. This reminds me, this reminds me of a conversation I had with a friend. Oh. And she and I had, we see each other about once a week. Okay. And we often get trapped in the how are you mirror because she has like a little child was often interrupting, and so it's hard to sort of get past. But she did this amazing thing. I was very impressed. This is what she did. I said, how are you? And she said, I didn't sleep well. I was like, oh. I mean, that's trivial, right? But that still kind of puts you in the mirroring, but it's just still not enough.
A little bit.
And then she says, well, the reason I didn't sleep well is because my cat, I found some like really new cat treats at Costco, and they're not just cat treats, they're cat plus dog treats. They can be for either. They're like some sort of like liver jerky. A minute thought when she was saying that she had a bad night's sleep, I had a second where I was like, oh, maybe she fed this to her kid, but I mean, because it was liver jerky and I didn't know what kept her up. I wasn't sure. But in any case, she said, she gave these treats to her cat, and her cat loved them and like scarfed them down. And they're slightly, maybe they're about an inch and a half or 2 inches. And she didn't think to break them because, again, it's packaged as this is cat or dog treat. The idea is you just give them the treat, right? She didn't break them. Her cat loved it. And this cat gobbles, like, you know, this cat does not like to bite. So she wakes up in the middle of the night, and this cat has essentially thrown up all this like liver jerky all over the floor. And it was like such a fantastic opening story, like to the conversation, right? Because then there's so many questions to ask, you know, about the treat, about the cat, how the cat's doing now. And then you can segue into your own cats.
Like, yes.
My cat is sick.
Yeah.
Talked a lot about my sick cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cat and a sickness is a sorrowful thing, but a cat throwing up is one of the best things a cat can do for one.
There you go. In the middle of the night. Like, for a conversation, it's a thing that can tread lightly ahead of you.
It's a thing. It is. So to return to my, and you know, this is a brilliant, I think we've established the social function of this, but my friend Sydney goes, hi, how are you? And because you told me, I think I dithered angrily for a minute, and then I sent back, great, how are you? Thinking I was being, you know, a cad. And what she sent back was an ultrasound picture because she was pregnant after many years of trying.
And that is so lovely.
And she wanted to tell me in person. And then we met up in person. But, you know, like, it's, I can see how she wanted to see, like, how are you? Just, like, to begin the conversation and then spring the big news, right? Like, the last, you don't want to maybe just cold send. Maybe I would, but I can see how she just, you want to just, like, have someone on the line. I think that was it. She wanted a quick, like, now we're both messaging. And while we're messaging, because it's like, I'm telling you in person, she breaks the news. And it was so delightful. And it was the best possible way to have, you know, how are you message come into your WhatsApps, right? So.
It is. It is. And it's making me actually rethink how I feel about the how are you message or the how are you question.
Okay, you do your rethinking and then I'll continue.
I'd like to hear more of your saga because like I can go on because the rethinking started at the beginning of our conversation. So we can get to that. I want to hear
more. It makes you you begin the rethinking, right? Like that's why this is so exhausting. It's every time you know, like you try to be a considerate person. But, like, a simple thing like a how are you text is not so simple because here's what happens. Finally, we fast forward to this week. And, again, out of the blue, I get a message from Amanda, finally. And it's I think it's, like, three messages. There's some effort. You know, there's some putting in of replying. And what she tells me is, you know, a couple things. She's doing this. She's, you know, some light stuff. And then she goes, oh, you know, it's been a little bit of a tough time because my husband's brother passed away. And the little I know, and she said, you know, this is another time losing a close family member. I know this has been like hard for it's, you know, it's like a, it's a long, big thing. And of course, this is a big issue. And this is what like the little part of me thought, right? Maybe she hasn't replied because something enormous is happening.
Got it.
And so I got those messages from her and they were quite sweet. And I immediately, you know, poured out and I answered in lengthily, which I have not heard back from, which is fine. But I just thought like, you know, I'm glad I wasn't too cold with the hi, how are you? Because I realized she wanted to start a conversation and maybe it's something that she didn't want to say in front of the group. And I hadn't considered this, but like, you know, it's, I don't even know the nature of her friendships with everyone else, but it was a little bit of like, it's that thing where you take someone into your confidence, right? Like you have a more intimate friendship. Yeah. So you don't want to say, you want to help, you want to say, oh, there's that Walt Whitman line I really love, which is like, this night I tell things in confidence. I might not tell everyone, but I will tell you.
That is lovely.
I love it. It's one of my favorite. I might not tell everyone, but I will tell you. And then he proceeds to tell. So I was like, oh, she really wanted to have a closer conversation because we were close friends. And this is exactly how we talked to each other last time. Like over Messenger at length when we were there, you know, when we were available. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, MSN was great because you couldn't just send someone a message. You had to both be online at the same time. I don't think you could send a message to someone who was not online. It was always live messaging. And it was the kind of thing you could do, especially when you were a kid. You're doing something else at the same time. You had the other person's basically undivided attention, actually, even though you are doing other stuff. It wasn't like you pick up your phone, you send a text, you do something else, you come back and text. But so I thought, you know, oh, she wanted something else from this. You know, it's actually kind of lovely. And then I thought, you know, how many times have I taken a bajillion years to respond to a text? Many. Like, when yeah. either I had too much happening, yeah. I wanted to, I couldn't, or like something, right? It's not yeah. a crime to spend time
yeah.
answering a message because no one's on the same page about it. But my basic conclusion of all that, and then I want to hear what you think, is maybe mirroring is not enough. Maybe what you want is to put out the response you want to get back, right? Like, if you really care about, it's like Gandhi said, you know, be the change you wish to see in the world. Like, if you want this, send it. Yeah. And I think that accommodates both, because if you are sick to death of texting and you just want to send a mirror message so that you don't leave it hanging, then that's what you want back, right? That's a signal of this is how much I can give and want back.
Can give at the moment, yeah.
But in that moment, I was a little glad that I had dug even very ever so slightly for a little more and not been too cruel about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it again. But that was where I am now with the how are yous.
No, I really like how you handled this. Actually, this made me think about something, like a conversation that I had like with a friend some months ago. And actually, this friend, he was like online dating. And talking about how the ways in which the technology for online dating is set up makes for kind of low quality interactions. So like what you were saying about MSN being so good because you have to be online.
Have to be online.
You know, the hey, how are you actually works because you can respond. You can mirror, and it's not a bad thing, right? Because that is how every conversation starts, because then you can sort of break the mirror cycle. You can say, yeah, my cat threw up, right? And then you can kind of get into it. But like with Facebook, Messenger at least, sometimes it looks like you're online even if you're not.
Yes.
And so you know.
Maybe like, the other person's sending the how are you, and they think you're just online and can respond.
Right. They think you're actually there. So it's like a whole, like the medium itself is working against you in the situation.
Because or like, you know, was when someone's online also,
Yeah.
That was when someone's online at that second.
Yeah. You can tell, right? It says online. But it also lets you send messages when you're not online, so then it becomes like an email, but then you don't know if the there's so much ambiguity there. I actually like responding how you would want to have that interaction look like. No, I think that's good.
What's like a no etiquette? Okay, the most no etiquette way is no response at all.
I think not responding at all. Do you think it would be... Sorry, what were you saying?
No, I think not responding in kind is also bad. If someone is sending you a lot, but then I don't know. It's good to let the other person, to take the cue that the other person is giving.
Yeah.
At face value.
Yes.
But also if you want to, you can signal that you want to break the infinity mirror.
Yes.
And break the infinity mirror and then see what the other person's is back. If you care enough about the interaction.
And if you have the, if you're in that place, right? If you're not.
Have the bandwidth.
Yeah.
Because I think I can think of times when I've answered too much and then I've embroiled myself in too much of a conversation. Over text. No. A horrible medium.
I mean, I always found that to be very pleasant. Like when you get that kind of a response from someone, I always kind of like it. It's nice to receive, but then you have to be in the right place and you might not respond in kind. And maybe, you know, I wonder, so what would be the no etiquette way to handle this, right? So not responding at all.
Not responding at all. Responding with way less. Like, okay, imagine I go, oh, I didn't sleep well because my cat threw up last night. And you go, haha.
Oh, that's the worst. Or like the, what's that? The thumbs up sign?
Oh, the thumbs up emoji. Yeah.
Maybe the thumbs up emoji.
You give nothing back. Yeah.
Nothing back. That's the cruelest. Yeah.
That's awful. And it happens a lot because I think somebody, I was complaining about someone else about this very interaction that has docked me for weeks. And she was like, well, you know, sometimes people are just, they're in the middle of doing something and they want to reply, but they're a little distracted, but they don't. Some people would rather reply fast and a little insubstantially to let you know that, insubstantially, they're thinking of you. They got it. And maybe they're not always realizing that it's the equivalent of stopping the conversation dead.
Yeah.
But it is, because then you're forcing the other person to kind of keep if they want to, but you're giving them like a, you're under.
Right.
Like,
well, okay, let's, if we take it all at face value, right? If they're doing that, then that means that, yes, they're not in a place where they can talk.
Yeah.
Right.
Or so that's what's being communicated, I think.
Yeah. That's what is being communicated.
But they're also talking back. Well, that's what's confusing. They're saying, I'm here responding, but boy, am I not responding very much.
So then in this situation, do you think it's more no etiquette to give a sort of perfunctory response than to not respond at all?
A solution that I have with a good friend whom we message quite regularly as we live in different countries and have, it's been a long distance friendship for most of the long time. And we're on the same page with this, where we begin by sending a long apology, like, oh, so nice to get your text. Sorry it's taking so long, or like, I'll respond more later. And almost that almost serves as our entire chat sometimes. But I think it's to the point where we've done it so much to each other that we're not, we're just, we know the other person's not upset. Like, sometimes I really do think I'll send her something because I just, it makes me think of her. I think she would like this.
Yeah.
I don't even need too much of a response. And I'm not, at no point is the friendship in crisis from this.
Right.
And so, but half of, I think a good 60% of our messages to each other are either prefaced by or consist of the, like, sorry, to, I'll reply more later. And sometimes we really do. And I know that if it were, if we really needed each other, the other person would reply at length quickly. You know, if it were like, I'm going through this, we the other person would be there. But most of the time, it's just enough to keep it, sort of half apology text. But it's, one cannot always send the apology. Like during COVID, something I started doing was I would, if I caught myself sending the apology, I just deleted it and I sent whatever I really wanted to send.
I love that.
Sometimes just to save everybody's time, but
yeah. You know what's interesting?
I've come to signaling of like, you know, I'm here. I want to answer. I'm a little busy.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's interesting? You were saying.
Oh no, I think it was about the apology and how over COVID you did. This is such a tangent, but I realized like roughly around COVID is when there was some book must have come out where people were saying you shouldn't apologize so much. Or it must have been something. There's this concerted effort for apology stopping. And I noticed this in work emails, like, almost right away, like, over the course of that year, nobody said sorry anymore. Everyone would just say something like, thank you for your patience. And you knew that they had precisely read that thing that had said, one does not apologize. One thanks the other for their patience. Yeah. So what I have done is I have actually reverted to apologizing because I want to show them. I know that one can say thank you for your patience, but I will apologize.
Wow. It's almost like aggressive apology. Are you almost like, are you trying to model the correct response?
Maybe.
The desired response?
I will apologize and then I will say thank you for your patience. So it's like, I know that I can do the thank you for the patience, but I will also apologize because I understand that you've had to wait and whatnot.
That's interesting. You're both trying to reclaim the apology.
Yeah.
Something. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you feel because you want to, you feel the necessity of an apology, or are you trying to get an apology from the other person?
No, I think usually it's if I have been very late in responding to something, right?
Okay.
I'm aware that I'm late. I think, and it doesn't matter what my circumstances are to that person, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in any situation where one is apologizing, there's always context, there's always reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't.
You will not apologize for apologizing.
Right. I will not apologize for apologizing. No, I will not. No, because this is something they tell you a lot in, like, I don't know, couples therapy, right? Where they're like, I kind of lost my train of thought here, but I'd like to bring back the apology, because I don't think, yes, over apologizing is a bad thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree. I'm on board with this.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like if you do something, then necessitates an apology.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not against the apology.
No, I'm not. I believe in it.
You believe in the apology.
Not excessively, but yes.
Not excessively. Yeah. And so, yeah, I will bring that into me with my texting. I think if I continue to get messages from Amanda, I mean, if we even continue at the current rate without slowing, it will take us like another quarter of a year. But that's fine. That's fine. We'll see where it goes. I think I even offered I offered an in-person meetup because I sincerely would not mind, and I would prefer that over messaging if we really wanted to catch up. But, you know, we've never had an in-person, we've never really had an in-person friendship.
So really? Like, just the two of you?
I mean, we've met up. We had, like, back in, 2003, but, like, it's been a while. So we'll see. I don't know. Friendships kind of change. But I think I'll end this by saying that for the time being, I gotta say, as much as I was ready to come in with, like, all guns blazing, being like, you know, mirror, like, just send exactly as much as you, know, I'm kind of, I feel like my 13-year-old self who was on MSN and had a little more either patience or, you know, less, like, plaque buildup of messaging that had fallen through to her rage, was glad that I had done what I had done and sort of sent out what I wished to receive, so... That's my etiquette story for this week. I'm sure we'll revisit it. It is a bane of my existence. Text out of nowhere that say, "How are you?"
I think that was very classy, though. I think your response is very classy. High etiquette. You know, I will actually think about this now in my future. Because this happens. This happens all the time, right?
Where someone says all the time. And I think this is a brilliant segue into our listener question for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you will hear why. This is coming to us from Janet from the Isle of Skye in Scotland. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Janet's question. Dear No Etiquette, I adore receiving compliments and would like to receive many more. However, I fear that my bashfulness and awkwardness upon being complimented has resulted in me receiving far fewer compliments than I am due. How do I graciously accept a compliment in a way that winsomely invites many more? You were praising my high etiquette situation. This is a specialty of yours, Sophia. This is why I was so excited to bring it in. How do you receive compliments graciously?
Well, Vivian, thank you for the compliment of me being good at receiving the compliment. This is great. I actually don't see myself as someone who's very good at compliment receiving. Although, that's a lie. I actually do pride myself. This is a lie. This is, okay. You know what I really like about the question that Janet asked is not only does she, you know, want compliments, she wants to find a way to invite them in her response.
Mm. Yeah.
That's complex. I have not thought about this. This is good.
Janet's one step ahead of the game.
One step ahead. This is some ninja stuff. Let's see. Okay. What would I do? Okay.
Yeah.
This is great. This is a great question.
Well, say I complimented you. I said, like, "Hey, your hair looks great today." Do you go, you sure? I thought it looked terrible. I woke up this morning. It was so frizzy. I didn't.
No, absolutely not. As you know, Vivian, I'm so good at compliment receiving. I would bask in the glow and I would say, "Thank you for noticing. Yes, I have put effort," so on. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. Janet's question. So how would you get more?
Yeah.
Here's what I would do. I would say, thank you for, I would thank you for the hair compliment. And then I would say, did you, I also did this other thing. And it would be, say I wanted a compliment on my nails. Say I just painted them. I'd be like, you know, I also like worked on my nails this weekend. Here, like, take a look at this. Mm-hmm. And that would invite that, because I would have responded so positively to the first one. You know, I think potentially that would invite, you know, presenting a new thing, right?
Oh, present a new thing to get compliments on.
At the same time. I don't know. I wanted more.
If you wanted more. Okay, so there's two things I want to break down here. The first is that one of the things you told me actually that kind of changed my life with compliment receiving was you said, oh, maybe you don't remember this, but you said, pretend that you are someone else. You're receiving the compliment for someone else.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think you just do it automatically, but you...
No, I think I do it, yeah.
You told me, like, if it makes you feel self-conscious, imagine that you're receiving it on behalf of someone, and you go, yeah, doesn't it look great?
Like, that's so wonderful. That is great advice.
Oh, you forgot it.
I forgot it. No, I do that, though. I mean, internally.
Internally.
Yeah. If
you're the kind of person who feels too self-conscious and on the spot, you pretend it's for someone else. And then, okay, follow up. I just want to break this. It's so good. I think this can work in some situations, right? Where they compliment one thing, you offer another. But this reminds me of our mutual friend, John, from grad school. Mm-hmm. I think I've told you about this guy before, where he was a very good looking fella. Very good looking guy. You know who I'm talking about. He had modeled, which he was not. He had modeled. I don't know if he bragged about it. I didn't interact with him that much, but I knew everyone, maybe you didn't know, but it was known that he had modeled, which can mean anything, right? It can mean like somebody did this, but like if you looked at him, he could have modeled. He really could have.
Okay.
So good looking guy. And something, it takes a while to realize this with your interactions from him, but there was something really almost gloating about the way he took, and because it was so guileless, like you complimented him on something. I remember one time I said something like, he used to go grocery shopping with this huge kind of like camping backpack, like, you know, like the backpackers wear, and they go, you know, to the woods.
I remember this.
And he would go grocery shopping with it, but I thought this was, you know, a good and practical thing because you had to carry your groceries and get on the bus and whatever. And so one day I said, like, you know, hey John, like, great, you know, nice backpack. And he sort of like his whole being glowed, and he was like, it is nice, isn't it? And he started showing me, like, you know, oh, you know, has this pocket, has this feature. But like at one point I talked to another friend, and she was like, you know, I hate that. I freaking hate that, John, because that's all he just talks about him, like him, he just basks in receiving his own greatness is how it comes across. Like, he felt that he just had the greatest of everything. Like, it is good, isn't it? And it kind of stopped there. He soaked in his deserved praise, it felt like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not a pleasant response one wants when complimenting somehow. You don't want to feel like you're just giving glory to someone else.
No. You know, okay, so when you were starting to explain the John thing, I was about to say that I disagreed, except I don't actually, because in action, this happened to me today. So, today, this is what happened. Somebody volunteered for something. Okay. And I personally think, like, and I've seen some of this person's work, and it's really, really good.
Okay.
And so So when he was confirming that he was going to do this thing for us, I said, yeah, and you know, your work is really, really good. And then he said, yes, I know. And it was something about his tone. And I almost felt like I wanted to immediately retract it. So maybe what our classmate was referring to about John, maybe the way he said, yes, my backpack, I just made you immediately want to take it back somehow.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is. Like, we expect a little humility, or we expect not like a pained response that makes you almost wish you hadn't come. You know, you can make someone uncomfortable.
Okay, but how is that different from the thing that how is this different, right? Like, how is it different from imagining this for someone else?
Yeah, you don't want smarminess to come across in your acceptance of a compliment. like, why, yes, I know, my thing is so good.
You don't want it to be compared to other people's? Like, you don't want to be putting down somebody else's thing?
You definitely don't. Yeah, I mean, yeah. If, you know, if it's like, my work is good, you know, in a way that implies other people's work is not good. And I'm glad you accept, you know, my work is good. But we do think of people, because I think of you as someone who accepts compliments happily and graciously, and in a way that doesn't make one of us squirm that a compliment has been offered. Like, that's kind of what you want. Yeah,
that is what you want. Okay, I have thought about the solution here. This is a solution. This is probably not. I mean, okay, a solution.
Janet needs
solution
to know this, so please.
No. Okay. Well. So I mean, okay. So ultimately, what a compliment does is it makes you feel good, right? And so, I think. So in the example that I just gave earlier, where I told this person that yes, their work is really good.
Yeah.
I think if they had said something like, thank you, I'm honored, it makes me feel really good that you appreciated my work. Like, that somehow is like an acceptance of that compliment that somehow compliments you, because then you feel like you've done something great by complimenting them.
Oh.
So maybe, right? So like maybe saying, oh, that makes me feel really good about myself. Or,
yeah.
I'm so glad that you noticed it. Or,
yeah. There's a hidden compliment there.
There's a hidden compliment right there.
Yeah.
Like, and you're reciprocating without. Yes.
You're reciprocating.
Yes.
A gracious acceptance is a form of reciprocity, because you're right. It implies that you've done a good thing. You've made me feel good. You've done a good thing. Thank you. And we've had those cases, right, where you compliment somebody, especially if you don't even really, you're not even thinking that, you know, it's it costs you nothing. It's a simple compliment.
Yeah.
But it makes the other person feel so good that you feel good. That's a nice compliment circle.
Right? And I think so.
I think with our classmate, John, his smarminess and smugness made you feel irritated. Like, you felt too good about your... I feel like I am, like, serving you something by complimenting you. And somehow that's not what you want out of the reaction.
Yeah. Like, I think maybe classmate John somehow, like, erased you, right? Like... So, like, you were giving the compliment, and then somehow you're not there anymore. It's just him.
Something like that. And, like, or maybe there's no acknowledgement of, gosh, it feels very self-serving. But perhaps whenever we give a compliment, we want some, I'm going to make you feel good, so make me feel good back somehow. Either by showing my compliment has been effective, it's made you feel good, or you compliment me back is the simplest way. Or you launch into another topic, right? Or like you've greased the interaction along on the wheels of a compliment. But it can't. It ends poorly if you who've given the compliment feel worse.
Yes.
That you have now. You wish you hadn't given that compliment now. And there's a lot of ways to make that happen.
Yeah.
There are many ways. So our advice to Janet, I think something along the lines of give some happiness back.
I like this. Give some happiness back.
Want to receive many more. Either, you know, you can keep it going by complimenting something from them and they pay it back again. Or you can, I'm trying to think of a time. I'm sure I can think of times when just someone has been so happy, truly genuinely pleased to receive a compliment and happy about it. That just makes you feel good. They don't even have to compliment back. It just delighted them. They're happy someone noticed something. They're happy that something good they've done has been acknowledged.
I like that. I think that's you know, and I think that's very useful in situations where, like, when you, I think complimenting back is a good thing to do if you can, but sometimes it's like hard, right? Like, maybe there isn't anything that, catches your eye at the moment, or maybe you're in a hurry, or, you know, but then, but to graciously accept it and say thank you and smile, I don't know, that takes very little time and it makes everything good.
Makes smile, Like, I can imagine being just happy with someone who said, well, thank you, and smiled enormously and positivity. I have thought of one more story, which I thought about as this, which is A way that you can make the whole interaction gracious the other way around, which was when I was in graduate school, same one we were referring to, I had this professor, her name was Jenny, and she was my pedagogy professor. I looked up to her enormously. She was a wonderful, really, you know, gracious lady. Jenny was a gracious lady.
I remember Jenny.
Yeah, Jenny was wonderful. And there was a day, you know, and I was so insecure about my teacher. You know, if she said anything good, I'd be like, oh, no, I didn't do that. I did that. Yeah. We did that thing. Yeah. And there was a day I was just in the lounge microwaving my lunch. And it was like, you know, she comes in and she goes, oh, that smells good. And I went, oh, you know, it's just, it was just frozen meatballs and sauce. Yeah. And I, you know, I just put it, you know, just, you know, assembled. And she said, but you put it all together.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
It was so wonderful. It was such a nice, you know, here's someone who didn't take the compliment well. All I had to do was say, why, thank you. I love meatballs, you know, or, I'm, you know. Not many people went through the effort of making and bringing their own lunch. So it was, you know, I just had to, you know, I didn't have to, but I took it poorly, and she came in with like the loveliest extra compliment, kind of like
that clarified
the situation.
Yeah,
and I thought of that line often. I think I've used it on other people when, you know, when they're abashed or they're, I don't know how I want to say something that good they've done, and I say, you put it all together, because that's true. Yeah. That's a thing people do on the regular. I think
really
that's an extra nice thing that you can do. If you give a compliment and the other person takes it badly, but secretly we all like receiving compliments.
Yeah.
And so you give another one back, and that was one of the lines. So that was Jenny, gracious lady Jenny.
So gracious. I really like that. I'm going to use that in the future. Yeah, because, you know, you inevitably run across bad compliment receivers.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. We are them sometimes. It happens.
Yeah, we are them. Yes.
So, well, Janet, I hope that answers your question. And that's our topics for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Sophia. I want to remind all our listeners that you can send us your questions at noetiquettepodcast@gmail.com. That's all one word, noetiquettepodcast. We will be taking them gleefully. We may be replying in a nonsensical fashion, but we are excited to hear the sticky etiquette situations that you find yourself embroiled in our modern no etiquette world.
Wow, thank you, Vivian.
Yeah,
this was lovely.
This was lovely.
Anything else? Anything else? No. This is great. This is great. I actually have walked out with some, you know, tools, you know, in my tool belt.
Steps.
Yes, this is good.
Yeah, next time your therapist asks you, you're all ready. You're all ready.
Yeah.
And so with that, we will close out this episode. See you next time here on No Etiquette. And until then, remember, it is good etiquette to follow up on someone's story of their cat throwing up with more than haha. Next time.
Goodbye.